In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today, we come to the last Sunday of the liturgical year. And next week, we begin all over again with the season of Advent, the preparation time for the 12 days of Christmas, and on and on.
Are you ready?
Well, we have one more feast. One more feast, and that is the Feast of Christ the King, with all its dimensions of grandeur, with its lofty language and the culmination of time, with the eschatological theme. Today's feast, as grand as it is not an ancient feast. It's not even a feast rooted in Anglicanism. It dates only back to 1925 when Pope Pius XI and Roman Catholicism established this feast in some part to counter what was going on in the world at that time. The symbols of rulers, the symbols of kings, worried the church. There was a rise in secular nationalism, a rise in despots and dictators. There was a rise in totalitarian government, rulers who ruled in cynicism, meanness, and contempt, and some even in cruelty. And so the church wanted to place for her people a counter image of king, a counter image of authority, image of King Jesus. And thus the feast of Christ the King. And though the feast is not ancient, the symbol of the shepherd king, a king who identifies with the lowly, the vulnerable, and those who are weak, is as ancient as Christianity. It's so beautifully articulated in the second century epistle to Diogenes. He says of God in wrath and power, the grace and peace to bring. In kindness as a king might send, his son himself a king, not to oppress but summon all, their truest life to find, and love God sent his son to save, not to condemn mankind. And today, our Protestant brothers and sisters, Presbyterians and Methodists, maybe even some Baptists, Lutherans, Anglicans around the world celebrate the feast of Christ the King. And we all, using a common rectory, share the gospel passage today from Christ the King, the parable of the sheep and the goat. Remember what I said last week about parables? In the ancient world, they were the social media of the time, and they were packed with hyperbole and shocking facts to grab our attention, and then they punched one point. And this parable of the sheep and the goat does not disappoint. I have to confess a little study today, being a city boy, about sheep and goats. I knew seen a sheep, I've seen a goat, that's about it. So I read that in the ancient world at the time of Jesus, they were flocked together. They were mixed during the day, but at night, they had to be separated because of different needs. Sheep had this warm wool they left to the outside. The goats needed warmer temperatures. Also, goats were not valued as much as sheep. So I assume for goat herders, might not be their favorite parable. But the people in the ancient world would have had a working knowledge of the image of sheep and goats. This would have made absolute sense when Jesus came to punch his point in the realm of story and metaphor. And so the story is that he will come again to judge the world as king, separating the righteous and the unrighteous as he would separate the sheep and the goats at night. And thus, according to this parable, balanced of course with other scriptures, who would be judged on what we have done or what we have not done. And the sheep are the ones who honor the face of Jesus in the life of the poor and the naked and the lonely and the vulnerable and those in prison. And the goats represent those who fail to see them and respond to them. Because all of us want to be sheep. And if we don't want to, I think at least we want to. And how is it that we become sheep? What is the point of the story? I tell another story to illustrate the point of this story. One of my favorites. About a man who had a dream one night, and in the dream an angel took him on a tour of both hell and heaven. He went first to hell. And when he arrived in hell, he was astonished, because when the doors opened, it was a beautiful banquet room with the most delectable food he'd ever seen. He said, there must be some mistake. not just wheat. And the people of hell filed in and stood around this beautiful table. Before they were allowed to sit down, servants came and stretched flesh on their arms. At the end of each flesh was a knife and a fork, such that when they sat down, they could reach the plate and they couldn't bend their arms. So they couldn't see themselves. In hell that day, there was weeping and cursing and gnashing of teeth. And the man said, please take me to heaven. So he went to heaven. Again, to his astonishment, heaven was identical to room as hell. The same banqueting table, the same delectable food. And just as in hell, the people of heaven filed in, and servants came and strapped those same splints to their arms, so that when they sat down, they too could not reach their mouth. But in heaven, something happened. While the people couldn't reach their own mouths, they realized what they could do is they could reach the mouths of the people next to them or across the table. So they began to feed one another. And in heaven that day, there was great joy and laughter. And the only difference between hell and heaven in this story is that in hell, it never occurred to anyone to think of anyone but themselves. And in heaven, it was second nature. And brothers and sisters, that is the point of the parable of the sheep and the goat. Sheep is second nature, simply to see the vulnerable, the sick, the needy, the hurt, the lonely, the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we hope to be. And yet I worry, because sometimes I feel that I'm callous. My hide is sick. How can I feel? There's an old gospel hymn that talks about this frustration. And I love part of the phrase. It goes like this. What can be done with an old hide like mine? We'll toughen it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, the spirit of love. It goes on to say how it is that we soften our hide, become more and more sensitized to be imitators of Jesus and to see the face of Jesus in a very hurting world. That's what we want to be. So how might we today be prepared to be more like the sheep? What can we do? I have an answer. I do. Right from this pulpit. You ready? I'm going to pause and make it a little sooner. So like you heard this whole year. Okay, I can hear your eyes roll. Okay. The liturgical year with its high days, slow days, fast days, feast days, with Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, where we follow the chronological life of Jesus for half a year. We act it out in liturgy. We participate in ancient liturgies that never become old. And then the sanctity from Trinity Sunday forward, we hold hands as a congregation. We work, and then we go, we work in the church. And we come together whether we feel high or low, spiritually alive or spiritually dead, where our souls are like sponges, and we walk through the motions of the Christian year. And the promise is that it comes to sensitize us and make us more and more permeable to be lovers of Jesus Christ. One more story to illustrate this point. One of my favorites. The Native American walking down the streets of Manhattan, Madison Avenue, in the height of business hour, in the financial district, and with businessmen and women beside him, and suddenly the Native American stopped, and he says, I hear the sound of a cricket. And the businessmen and women say, what? With a horn talking with thousands of people, do you hear a cricket? And he paused, and he went, and sure enough, he found this old clay pot next to the storefront, and brought back a live cricket in his hand. And the businessmen and women said, how? How could you do that? And the Native American said, it's simple. I trained myself to hear certain sounds. With a smile, with a free hand, he reached in his pocket and brought out a handful of coins and threw the coins on the sidewalk. Everybody stopped. He said, you see, we all train ourselves to hear certain sounds. My brothers and sisters, that is the purpose of the Mass and the Eucharist and the liturgy and the music and the prayers that are coming together. We become sensitized to hear and see the voice and the face of Jesus in a very hurting world, very hurting this past week, heaven. We can feel prisoners and hostages. We can feel the horror of war. We can feel the horror of loneliness and fright. And because, in part, we're sensitized by the Christian year and the Eucharist and the Elephant. So blessed be this feast, and blessed be
the very liturgical year, that sensitizes us to see the face of Jesus on his throne of glory as seen in the sacrament of that altar, and the lives of the saints, the hearts of the sinful people, and in the tears, the suffering, the throw-up, and the hurt, and the wounds of those who are in need. Blessed be the feast of Christ the King. Amen.